welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast this week. Well, we've been continuing on in a series of teaching, if you will, on the gifts of the Spirit. And as we closed last week, we were looking at wonder-working faith, and now I'd like to give you some scriptural examples of that. Let's go to the life of Daniel. Daniel continued to pray 3 times per day, even when he knew he would be cast into the lion's den. Remember the verdict of the king that only those who would bow down and worship his statue, this idol that he had made. And we know that he continued to pray and God delivered him from the mouths of the lions. Also that remarkable experience of the 3 Hebrew children in the 3rd chapter of Daniel. They were cast into a fiery furnace that was burning 7 times hotter, and the Lord kept them from being burned. They said, "We know our God is able to deliver us, yet whether he doesn't or not, King, we're not going to bow down to worship any false God." And then we look at Elijah. And there are many examples of this gift operating in the life of this prophet. It wasn't always operating. Remember in 1 Kings 19:4, he is seen running from Jezebel and requesting death for himself. In 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 3 and 4, the Lord tells him, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Well, obviously, it's evident that he believed what the Lord was telling him, for he obeyed. And when we just look a little bit deeper at this command, you know, it's really an amazing thing, God's use of ravens. It was wonder-working faith that helped Elijah to believe that a ravenous bird would bring him food. In order to understand, we need to look a little bit at the species of raven. They're part of the crow family, but unlike the crow, they usually live in wild areas instead of near people. They're a powerful flyer. They'll eat almost anything, and they kill large numbers of mice, rodents, and insects. Proverbs 30 and 17 says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." As alluded to in this verse, the raven has carnivorous habits and is especially prone to attack the eyes. It flies about restlessly in constant search for food to satisfy its voracious appetite. It's mentioned in Scripture as an instance of God's protecting love and goodness. There's an example in Job 38:41. And a question is asked, "Who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat." And there's another instance in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 24. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and yet God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" And so we see two examples of wonder-working faith in the feeding of Elijah. The nature of the raven was suspended. That is not like them to carry food in their mouth. And of course, the bird was following divine direction by returning every evening at mealtime. And this is just an amazing thing. Of course, you know, also I'm thinking of Jonah and the whale. Obviously, God directed that whale to swallow him and then to cast him up, vomited him up on the dry ground near Nineveh. So God is certainly at work and controls all the affairs of men, including the natural world and animals. So we're looking at wonder-working faith. What's a characteristic of wonder-working faith? Well, it stays until the work is finished. A miracle may happen in a moment of time and be finished, but this gift of faith persists until victory is given. Wonder-working faith kept Daniel safe all night and the Hebrew children safe from harm. And Elijah was fed for many days. And also remember when he prayed for rain? I mean, there was persistence there, and yet wonder-working faith did bring, you know, a cloud the size of a man's hand. Praise God. It's a tremendous thing. It's an astounding ability to receive. It believes God. It's able to receive anything that God could ever do. Think about that. It believes just like God believes, because it's a fragment of the very kind of faith that God Himself always exercises. Perhaps you've heard of George Mueller. He founded an orphanage in Bristol, England, where hundreds of orphans were fed daily. And he fed them without any kind of advertising, without just depending on the Lord. He raised over £1 million. And it's a matter of record that the monies would come in for food on the very day that it was needed. That's wonder-working faith, beloved. Another time, he was on a ship sailing for Quebec, Canada. The fog was so thick, the captain became distressed. And Mueller informed them that, the passengers that they would never make it. However, Mueller said he'd never been late for an appointment in 57 years, and he didn't expect to be late this time. He prayed in wonderful faith, and a little while later, to the captain's absolute amazement, the fog was gone, and he made his appointment on time. Praise God. So we've been wrapping up this teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, looking at the power gifts, and now we'd like to go briefly to the working of miracles. One author has defined this spiritual gift as supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. It is God doing something through a person which defies ordinary natural laws, or something that supersedes natural laws. Young's concordance shows that the word miracle in the Greek means impelling, staggering, astonishment. That's a miracle. Some miracles may stagger the mind with their ability to overcome natural law, but some may come in quiet ways. Jonah was expelled from the ship of Tarshish. Remember, there was a storm that arose, and they started questioning, you know, why has this happened? And when he prayed, the wind and waves ceased. A miracle may be quiet or spectacular, but it's always something that reverses or transcends natural laws. Remember when Jesus spoke peace to the storm? He was together with the disciples, and a great storm arose, and he spoke to the wind and the waves, and there was an immediate hush. And the apostles said, "What manner of man is this?" Well, that was an operation of God's miracle-working power. Remember at Babel? That was a miracle. God confused the languages. And, of course, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by showers of divine fire from heaven. That was miraculous. The burning bush of Moses. Remember that? God appeared to Moses in a bush that appeared to be burning, but it really wasn't. God may send his astonishment through angels. Remember, angels slew the firstborn of Egypt. An angel struck the father of John the Baptist dumb because of his unbelief, when he didn't believe what the angel was telling him regarding the birth of their son John the Baptist. And of course, an angel troubled Siloam's pool so that the sick who stepped in it were healed. God may also use men as channels through which to work his miracles, so that people may wonder at the greatness of Jesus. This is the gift of working of miracles. And there is a difference between the gift of faith and the working of miracles. Wonder-working faith believes with ease for the sustained wonders of God. It's essentially passive. But working of miracles works out miracles. God needs a worker when he desires to use the gift, if you will, of working of miracles. So the working of miracles through human channels requires that some work be done, and in the doing of that work, the natural law is suspended. Now, you might say, well, Sister Glass, I'm not sure, how does that work? Well, let me give you some examples from Scripture. Remember the wedding feast at Cana? Water pots first had to be drawn and filled with water. Jesus, of course, then changed that water to wine, and the wine was drawn out. Remember Jairus' daughter in Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 41, Jesus spoke to her and took her by the hand in the working of this miracle. And in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 9 and 10, Paul was, well, I guess he was being rather long-winded that night, and the people were gathered. He was preaching throughout the night, and Eutychus, a young man, fell asleep, and as he did, he fell out the window and killed himself. Paul went down and embraced him, and he was restored to life. In Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 36 through 40, we see the account of Tabitha, who was also named Dorcas, was raised back to life when Peter kneeled beside her and prayed, and then he spoke to her. Note that in each case, a miracle simply didn't happen. It had to be work. There was some effort involved in the person being used, whether it was Jesus, who was operating as the Son of Man, not as the Son of God. He was doing what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. In all these cases, they were channels for the working of miracles, that they did some small thing, and then God did the rest. Praise God. Well, tomorrow we're going to start looking at the purpose of miracles, but my time is rapidly coming to conclusion, so I must bring this broadcast to a close. But before I do, I want to invite you, if you have prayer needs, there's power in agreeing prayer. God's raised up this ministry for going near 50 years now to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. So as the announcer gives you our contact information, send that letter or that email, and I'll respond to you personally. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.